Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at httpvoicerepublic.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, Sharon, I was supposed to fade it out, wasn't I? Well, hello, everyone. Sharon, can I do this?
Oh, go ahead. Do your thing.
Okay.
You need to hurry up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Back to Us with Anise and Sharon.
It's me.
Sharon, we can't hold on. I mean, oh, my God.
Wait. Why don't you ever sound excited when you're introducing me? You always sound excited when you're introducing yourself. You make me seem like the redheaded stepchild.
Because, you know, you drain all my energy trying to produce the show with you. So by the time I get to introducing you, I don't have any energy left.
That's not my fault. You should still have some energy with me because I'm sharing.
Whatever. How was your week?
I had a good week. I'm a little tired and a little sleepy, but
I know.
It was good nonetheless.
We had a gala this weekend.
Yes, I had a gala this weekend.
Did you hear our music this week? We got Dion Taz again.
That little stud chick singing that song?
Yes, the hottest stud out of Houston, Texas. We've got Dion Taz. And that was her single, Till You Sleep. We're going to actually hear the release of her I'll Be Your Stud at the end of the show. So I'm excited about
I'll be your stud. One day I'll be able to tell some pretty girl, hey, I'll be your stud.
Yeah, I'm going to be your stud,
whatever.
Too. Can we get to our show?
But I was talking about studness.
That's next week's show, honey. This week, we have a different topic.
What's next week's show?
Next week's show is Masculine Identified Lesbians, and we're going to have the writer Noble Jules on.
Masculine Identified Women Folk. I don't know if I fit in that, but I'll try to squeeze in there some way. But anywho, back to the gala. We had a good time.
Back to the gala. I looked smashing in my dress. Oh, my gosh. I was just so cute.
You're all right. But, you know, people were looking at me.
They were looking at you in that tux that you had to drive from Diddy Water Diddy to Timbuktu to get altered and fixed. But, you know,
first
if you had listened to me.
Conyers is Dirty Waddy Diddy. Why are you playing? And I didn't have to drive all over town for it. I just had to have it fitted for me because I lost
it. Wait, you had to have it fitted? Say that one more time.
I had to have some work done on it.
Oh, you had to have some work done. Well, see, if you had been using our first business, our first person in business today, Gentlewoman Clothing, you wouldn't have had to drive from Diddy Water Diddy to alterations to pressing to everything else because your stuff would have arrived to you in one piece and it would have been perfect for you.
It was still perfect. I still look smashing, but I am going to get one of those outfits.
Well, can I bring Tina on now?
Oh, do what you do. Go ahead, Pimpin. Go ahead. Do what you do.
Hello, Tina.
Hello, ladies.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are very excited to have you. See, if Sharon had just listened to me and bought a gentlewoman suit, she wouldn't have been driving from alteration shop to alteration shop trying to find something to fit her for this gala that she didn't want to invite me to. But that's enough about me and this gala. So tell us all about you. We're so excited.
Okay. My name is Tina Crittenden. I'm the CEO of Gentlewoman Clothing. I've been an avid suit wearer since 18. I don't wear men's suits, and the women's suits were just, they were just a little frilly. And I just
they were a little
to,
what?
A little frilly, you know, just too. You know, when you go in a boardroom and you see a man's suit, it just looks so nice. And then when you look at the women's suits, and it's like, you know, they got somebody else's suit on. So I wanted to give the women an opportunity to have that same nice, clean look. And that's
okay.
Why Gentlewoman was born.
Well, I saw the suit that that Doc had on for our first show. She did tell you that she got all dressed up in one of your suits for a radio show, right?
Mm-hmm.
She did tell you that, right?
Well, yes, she told me that. But I thought, you know, she was going to get some live air, you know, across the TV waves. But at any rate, as long as she had it on, I'm happy.
She was in the living room with her Gentlewoman clothing, that brown striped one with some yellow or gold mustardy accents to it. It was a hot suit. It was a very hot suit. She had on her makeup. She had her heels. And all she
okay.
did was sit in the living room. But it was a hot suit.
Well, you know, it's okay to look pretty wherever you are. It's okay.
Thank you, Tina.
I'm sorry for stealing your thunder. Go ahead. Go ahead, Doc. Go ahead, Doc.
No, go ahead. No, since you're going to just put me out there on blast that I got dressed up for the suit for the radio, go ahead. Finish the interview. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, that's what you did.
Okay.
So Tina, let me ask you a few questions here. You said that you were inspired by the fact that some of the women's suits were too frilly, too girly, too eh. And
yeah,
some of the guy suits
were just too big. Men's suits are for men. I mean,
right.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter our sexuality, what we identify ourselves. If we was born female, a man's suit it would not fit you unless you have that unique body. And very few women have that unique body where they can go get a man's suit and put it on. Because men's shoulders are wider, arms are longer. The suit just, it's for a man. It's a little like a box when most women have them on. And that's
okay,
the thing
now.
I wanted to get our women out of. We have a product that we can actually wear ourselves. And the manufacturer I use, he makes suits for women, for the woman's body. And what we did, I got a young lady out of Ohio who sketched some things that I wanted, and we sent it to him, and he was able to duplicate the sketches and give us the look we want.
Okay. That sounds really cool. I mean, the other day, let me tell you how things work. The other day I was at Kroger, and I need to probably stay out of Kroger. Doc, don't you say anything. But I ran into this person who designs women's sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's nothing. I know somebody who designs women's suits. Maybe you two
mm-hmm.
should get together and do some stuff. I can't
yeah.
find where I put this card, but I'm definitely hook you guys up. So I think that would be
okay.
a real cool little marriage there.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But in trying to get this line started, what were some of the challenges that you faced in doing that? Because people generally think you're going to get a women's suit from the women's department or you're just going to get a dude's suit from the dude's department. What challenges did you have in trying to mesh those two together so that women who don't like the frilly frilliness can still have they can still look good?
Well, the biggest challenge was finding a manufacturer to produce the product that I approved of. That was my biggest challenge. You know, you spend money on samples from different manufacturers, and they don't come in the way you want, or they're not giving you the look you want. So the biggest challenge is just finding a manufacturer.
And you say yours is somewhere in Ohio?
No, it's actually offshore.
Offshore, all right then.
Yeah, and most, and honestly, you know, most manufacturers that, quote-unquote, say they're manufacturing in the USA, majority of them go offshore. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you do is you can contact, it's very few. There are some manufacturers
in the United States that actually manufacture women's suits in the United States, but it's a few. Most of them say they manufacture them in the United States, and they actually go offshore and get the product and send the product to you. And this way, you know, I cut out the middleman and go straight to the source so we can have the product affordable for most women.
Why do you think it's such a big challenge to have those suits designed here?
Well, I mean, when you look at designing suits here, it's not, I mean, it's not a challenge of getting it done in the United States. It's just the cost factor. You know, I didn't want gentlewoman clothing to be out of reach for most consumers. I want most women to be able to afford to get a suit. And if we get your suit made in Atlanta, that one suit probably will range anywhere from $600 to $800 to $900 because
what?
Because I mean, you actually have that tailor, and that tailor does that one suit, and it's the same product, but you're paying more because it's that one tailor doing that one suit. It's not a lot of manufacturers that actually manufacture suits themselves in the United States. There's not a lot of them.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, let me ask you this then. One of the things Doc was trying to inform me about, was trying to educate me, was the difference between made-to-measure suit and a custom suit, custom-made suit. Aren't they the same thing?
No, they're not the same. A custom, and a lot of people say bespoken, basically meaning bespoken, made just for that person. A custom suit, the tailor, what he does is he makes a pattern for that person's body.
Mm-hmm.
If the person got one arm shorter than the other, that's how the suit will, that's how the pattern would be. Now, made to measure, we take the measurements of the body. And we're made to measure because you have three types of suits. You have the custom, you have the made to measure, and the ready to wear. And, of course, the custom, that's what I was talking about, when you have a tailor, he will actually do a pattern for your body. And because it's such unique, that pattern is unique for you and you only, it, of course, that costs more. Made to measure is you take the measurements of your body, and you have the manufacturer, he makes them off of that measurement.
Oh.
And then, of course, ready to wear is when you go into a store and the item is on the rack. And you talk about different price points with those three. Custom is going to cost more. And then made to measure is in the middle, and ready to wear is a little cheaper. And a lot of time you do have people that can actually fit the ready to wear. It may be a little off as far as little alterations needed. Made to measure, even though you get it made to measure, it still may be some alterations needed to be done. But the custom, after a couple of fittings, it shouldn't be anything. It just be, you know, just for you.
Okay. Well, now let me ask you this. I have this little pet peeve about some of the more dominant type women when they try to wear a suit or tux or whatever it is that they're trying to fit into. It just doesn't look like it fits them the right way. I have this thing against women, these little stud type women, wearing their pants underneath their shoes. I don't understand that. I have this problem with the sleeves being too long. So what, if you were to tell a woman how that suit is supposed to fit, just in appearance-wise, what would you say?
As far as the jacket, you're supposed to be able to bend your elbow and look at your watch. And you should be able to see your watch every time you pull your jacket up, pull your elbow up. Your arm up to your face. You should be able to see your watch. You should be able to, if you're looking at the time, you should be able to see your watch without adjusting the jacket, period. And, you know, some people want their jacket a little shorter so they can show their shirt. They got the nice, beautiful French cuff. But the longest, that's because they're, 9 times out of 10, Sharon, they're in a men's suit.
They are. Mm-hmm. And men, even if you are 38 in your chest area, breast area, and it's a 38 man suit off the rack, the sleeves are going to be too long, period. Sleeves are going to be too long because men's arms are longer and their shoulders are wider. And that, the biggest thing is just to get out of a man, get out of the man's suit and get your gentlewoman suit. Get it to fit you.
That's what I'm talking about. So earlier you said that for a person to get one of those nice custom suits made just for them, it's going to run somewhere between $600 to $800. Is that correct?
And but you know what, Sharon? And that's the low end of it. I mean, because when you go, if you go online and look at the difference, and when they start talking about the custom made to measure and ready to wear, they're talking about men's suits. And the price range for a custom man's suit can run anywhere from $2,000 on up. It's just depending on where you get the fabric from. When you have that certain fabric that the stuff that, you know, guys, we have the $10,000 suits, $15,000 suits, and that's a different fabric. But the custom, I mean, for the women, a low end, when I say that, that's a low end. To get those suits custom made like that.
Well, I wouldn't have one of those suits because I'm not paying $600 to $800 for one little item. My whole wardrobe could cost that much. Everything in my closet could possibly cost that much. Dog, don't say a word.
And you know, the thing is, even with gentlewoman clothing, when we did our trademark, we did the trademark to eventually have a one-stop shop for women. I'm getting ready to implement shirts. I'm gonna get some shirts ready to wear because I contacted my manufacturer and got him to do me about 3 shirts, and they actually are really, really nice shirts. And they're made for women. So that's another thing we're gonna implement on our online is the shirts, because we want to eventually have a one stop shop. I want me a boutique where a woman. Like you said, Sharon, Anise, if y'all got a big event, you can come right there and get dressed and leave out the door. That's our ultimate goal with gentlewoman clothes.
And I have to do another plug. Wait a minute. Hold on, Sharon. I have to do another plug for Tina, okay, because everybody who knows me knows that for the past probably year and a half, I have had a muscle disease. And at one point, I lost my ability to have fine motor skills. So when I connected with Tina, that was one of the reasons why I went to her, because originally I was getting ready to do a TV interview. I couldn't even zip my suits up. And it's kind of embarrassing when you have to go to a gas station and ask the clerk behind the counter to zip and snap your suits because you can't do it anymore. So what I love about gentlewoman suits is they're easy for the people like me who have mobility challenges or who have fine motor skill challenges. I can zip, I can snap, and these gentlewoman suits don't have all of those little hooks and everything else that all the other suits have. And another great advantage of having Tina as your go-to person is she can, you know, because it's made to measure, she can add in or take away things that don't work for you. So that's my plug. Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
Thank you.
You done? You done?
Other than I really love Tina and I love these
suits. You know what? When we're done talking with you, Tina, she and I are probably going to have a real good fight because we've been fighting all weekend.
Come on, Sharon. So, I love the plug. I mean, I just love it. I mean, you know, she can interrupt anytime she likes, but go ahead.
Don't tell her that. Okay.
Now, you know, if I could just get Tina to go into the shoe business, oh, my God, I would be like the happiest woman in the face of the planet.
In the face or on the face?
No, in the face, because I'm going to be in the planet's face with my gentlewoman suit on.
Moving right along. So, Tina, going back to prices, roughly about how much could a person expect to spend on one of your suits, just on average?
And right now,
for
the
price conscious person like me,
it's anywhere from $230 to $270, and that's made to measure. And again, we're looking to do ready to wear, and the ready to wear will actually be a little cheaper, but the made to measure will be, you know, it's always the price point goes up as, you know, as your desire goes up.
Mm-hmm.
But can I just add another plug in? Because if you get the ready to wear suit women, let me tell you, if you get ready to wear, you know that very seldom do you find something that you can get off the rack that's ready to wear. You're going to have to pay for alterations. So why not just go and spend that extra money on the front end so that you know that you have something coming to you that you can just take out of the box and put on your body and just look slamming awesome. Because I did look slamming awesome in that suit. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Go ahead, Sharon.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Yeah. It's all you, baby. It's all you all the time. Other than when it's me in my gentlewoman suit.
Okay. So, anywho, a little birdie told me, Tina, that you've got some things in the works. With some popular and some popular arenas. You want to tell us about some of those things?
Well, actually, my wife and I went last Sunday, and we did a pitch to the Shark Tank.
What's Shark Tank for listeners who don't know? What is
Shark Tank are the guys that's on ABC that they're millionaires and billionaires that investors that take unique concept like Gentlewoman or any other concept, and you're able to go to them and pitch your idea to them. And your ultimate goal is to get one of those guys to be an investor on your project. You know, sometimes you go there for them to invest because you need the money. A lot of times you go there because you need the contacts. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I, we were able to go last Sunday. They had open casting at the Fox last Sunday, and they give you like 60 seconds. We didn't actually pitch to the Sharks. We pitched to the casting producers. And, you know, we had 60 seconds to pitch Gentlewoman concept to them. And then, you know, we basically left, and they supposed to get back with us and let us know if we move to the next step. And if we are blessed enough to move to the next step, that's when they'll start taping us and getting us. What they do is get a producer and assign that person to you and get you ready to actually go in front of the Sharks.
Wow, that must be exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. But, you know, now we're in the waiting mode to see, you know, if they call us back. So that's where we are right now with that.
Okay. Any other things that you got going? Any fashion shows or wait, hold up. I'm still waiting for my opportunity to model.
Yeah, and actually, my wife and I, we talked. We did a fashion show back in 2010, and actually it was a real success. Just to see, I mean, we had like, I don't know, 175, 200 people came out. We was up at the Twin Tower, and when I say it was a beautiful event. We did that in 2010, and that was our first production for the fashion show. And we made a couple of errors, whatever, but at the end, we pulled it off. But we were looking to probably do something the end of this year or maybe right before it get hot of next year, maybe the spring of next year, we plan on doing Gentlewoman 2 fashion show.
Okay.
And we're going to definitely invite Sexy Chocolate to come and be a part of us.
You better say that.
I better say it. Sexy Chocolate, yeah.
Okay, well, I hate to break up Sharon's hair fair fest, you know, because the more you call her Sexy Chocolate, Tina, the bigger her head gets, and at some point she's going to raise the roof.
And you know what, and the thing is, you know, I don't like, you know, women. You know, I'm not attracted to women like Sharon, you know, because we're basically, you know, the same type of woman. But, you know, she got that little, you know, she got that little thing about
Sharon, now I got to call the contractor because you just busted through the roof.
You know, she got a little swag. She got that little thing.
Well, we
got
to pay some bills, Tina, so, you know, I got to.
You make that baby feel real good right there. Hold on, I'm talking now. That baby for real. Real good right there. So
you gonna pay all the bills this month by yourself, Sharon?
Are you gonna let me do
the commercial plug so we can get our bills paid?
Go ahead, do what you gotta do.
So everyone, today our first commercial spotlight for the day is of course Gentlewoman Suits, and you can go to Gentlewoman Clothing www.tinacritman.com. And right now, Tina actually has a special for our listeners. It's $50 off. Buy one suit, get the other suit $50 off. Did I get that right, Tina?
You did, but I'm gonna do even better. If they contact me personally at 770-875-4911, that's my personal cell phone.
That's
770-875-4911.
4911, 770-875-4911.
And let me know that they heard me off of Back to Us. I will give them a $50 off if they purchase just one suit. And I can do that for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, that is sweet.
I'm mentioning Back to Us. I want my $50 off my first suit.
Sharon.
Yes. Two sexy chocolates.
Bless us.
All right, well, thank you very much, Tina.
Thank you,
we
Tina.
Do appreciate it. And I'm going to get my suit.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much. And again, everyone, Tina has a special running. Tina, give our listeners your number one more time.
My telephone number is 770-875-4911. If you call me and tell me you heard me on Back to Us, I will give you $50 off your suit. Not the second suit, but your first suit.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, Tina. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Hey, you know what?
What, Sharon?
You know, that was hot, right?
That was hot.
No, that was
hot. I love Tina. Tina is like the bomb diggity.
She says, sissy toddy.
You know, you just get excited about any time that anybody gives you a compliment.
Man, paint drying can excite me. It doesn't take much.
I know. Well, you know what? Speaking of exciting you, Sharon,
ooh,
how's that book that you're working on coming?
It's working,
you know,
and it's coming.
You know, remember years ago when you wrote Strapped? And I was your editor and your proofreader, and I read it. No, wait, you wrote Love and Liberation first. And I read it, and I loved it. And you did, like, this little dedication to me on the front page. It was so sweet. And then you wrote Strapped. And you did a little dedication to me on the front page. It's so sweet. Read that one, too. And, you know, and then you came back with another Strapped.
I'm sorry, Still Strapped.
Still Strapped. And then something happened. And I was waiting on Strapless. And I'm still waiting. But you know what? Today we actually have another author and publisher on our show, and her books are actually out, Sharon. What a concept.
Ooh. What are you trying to say?
Well, I'm trying to say maybe you might be able to pick up some skills from our next author. Let me bring
her on. You mean Corinthia Kelly?
Corinthia, Miss Corinthia Kelly. Corinthia, hello.
Hello there.
Miss Kelly, what's up?
How you doing, baby?
How's it going?
It's going.
Now, I want you to know, Corinthia, that Doc and I, we were fighting about you about an hour or so before the show started. You know why?
Oh, really?
You know why?
Why?
She was asking me about my book and why is it not out yet and some other question she was saying. And then she said, you know what, Sharon, forget you. We should just ask an expert. And so that expert is going to be Corinthia. I'm like, wait, what are you trying to say? I mean,
I'm trying to say that I've been waiting on a book that I can't read because it's in your head.
It's going to come out my head eventually. But back to the expert thing. I feel some kind of way about that. Do you want to explain it?
It happens. Just like with Forsaken Eyes 2, it was supposed to have been released like 3 years ago.
So thank you.
It happens. But I am determined to get it out this fall in October.
So you're confirming what I was trying to tell Doc, that stuff gets stuck in your head and life happens. You got to pay some bills. You got to feed the dog. You got to take care of your own personal things that's going on with you. You can't just spit out a book every other week like
you
your name is Terry McMillan or something.
Exactly. I mean, unless you know, if that's all that you do, then, it can happen.
Well, see, I got bills to pay. I got Allstate, and I got T-Mobile, and I got all these folks that
want
some money
from me.
You
mean T-Mobile for the phones that we have that don't work half the time? That T-Mobile?
That T-Mobile. That very popular T-Mobile. And because they want all $5 million of their dollars, people got to work. People, ain't nobody got time for all of that.
Yeah. See, with me, it's not only just my writing, but then I have other authors that I'm working with, and then, you know, my working to pay the bills. So, you know, all of that could come into play. And then next thing you know, it's like 3 years down the line, and you still haven't gotten your work out.
You know what? We're just talking like we just know each other, like we're sitting on a beach drinking Mai Tais, just having a good old time. But for those people who don't know you, let me just, you know, tell everybody a little something about you. You grew up in Oxon Hill, Maryland. Where's Oxon Hill, Maryland?
Oxon Hill, Maryland is right outside of, on the other side of Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia. There's a harbor down here.
Okay.
And I grew up there, yeah.
It's not like a little country town, is it?
No. It's not really a big city either.
Okay. So we won't say it's a country town. Okay.
No, it's not country at all.
And right now you're living in Temple's Mills. You work in Bethesda. You have a degree in accounting, which you're a writer.
Mm-hmm.
That is weird. That is weird. You're also certified. Say again.
I said that's why they call me a jack of all trades.
Now you're also certified in proofreading and verbal and written English. You started writing at a very early age, and just like most of us, started. Okay, Doc, I'm gonna need you to tell Lucy to chill out.
I'm trying to take care of my dog issue.
Okay. Started keeping a journal of everything that was going on with you, like a lot of kids do. And eventually, you turned those experiences into books. You became you're self-described as a very goal-driven person. You're an erotical. What is it? Erotica or erotical? An erotic novelist.
Mm-hmm, erotica.
Ooh, and your first book was To Forgive or Forget? Was that your first one? Was Forsaken Eyes your first one? To Forgive or Forget was your first book?
Forget. Yeah, that was my first one.
Okay. And then you came back and gave us Forsaken Eyes. And you are the founder, owner, the everything under one hat for Opal Book Publishing. And that... you started way back in 2002, so it's been well over 10 years that you've been in the business of writing and publishing. So that's unheard of for some people. So that's a great accomplishment. And your publishing company now has six titles, which includes The Weight of the World by Renee Huggins. I like that book, by the way. I don't know if I can say this on the radio. I don't want the FCC. Is it FCC, FTC, whatever? I don't want them to shut me down.
Go ahead, Sharon. I think we got enough money in the business account for it.
We got like $250. I don't
think
that's enough to give this. Okay. Lesbian Bullish, okay, by Tanisha McMillan. We also have Faces of Shame by Tanya Phillips. And that's one of your newest authors, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then you're also going to be releasing Forsaken Eyes 2 sometime this year.
Mm-hmm.
How soon can we get that?
I actually have a drop date of October the 5th, which is my birthday.
Your birthday is October 5th, mine is October 9th.
I know.
How about that? Ooh.
You're a supporter and recipient of the Lupus Foundation of America, diagnosed in 2007 with lupus. How is it? How are you able to do all the things that you do and still try to maintain some kind of normalcy when it comes to your health and all the other things that you have to do?
All I can say is by the grace of God. I pray every night. I try not to let this illness get me. It's a battle to deal with, but I have to keep pushing.
Keep pushing. And I imagine that can sometimes be difficult.
It can get difficult. However, I can say that for the past few years, I've been really blessed as not to have any issues with my lupus. So
excellent.
Very thankful for that.
Excellent. Do you participate in any of the walks and things of that nature when you're able to?
When I'm able to, I did a lupus walk a few years back, my first one. And actually the one before that I was supposed to do, but I had an injury with my knee due to the lupus. So I had to cancel out on that, but I made sure that I, did the second one that was held in D.C.
Okay. So you're doing fine, no complications from that or anything right now, right?
No complications.
And you're able to push those books out.
And I'm able to push them books out.
Well, speaking of books, I have a burning question. I know this is supposed to be your interview, Sharon, but since I've been interrupting all day,
interview.
I mean, why break the trend now, right?
Go ahead.
Okay, so Ms. Kelly, can you kind of tell, I know that there's like a lot of people that are doing their own publishing now and they're self-publishing and, you know, there's the whole Kindle publishing thing and kind of walk me through all of those differences and you know, and I've tried, honestly, I've looked at it and Sharon and I were going to do a book together years ago and I dropped the ball on it.
Yes,
I said that. I dropped the ball.
Yes. And it's recorded. Go ahead.
Thank you, Sharon. You know, I can always count on my friend to just bring back the things that I want to forget. Okay, so if someone, you know, if they're thinking, I want to get my, I've got a book, I've got an idea in my head, I want to get it published, what are the kind of, what, just in a nutshell, what are the differences in all of the publishing mediums?
Well, you have some publishers who, you know, who offer advances, mostly like the big publishing companies, they offer a lot of, you know, advances to you, which means that they'll give you an advance and they're looking for you to push out, you know, a certain amount of books.
Okay.
That's number one. With the self-publishing is where, you know, you as the author, you're marketing and advertising everything yourself, you know, out of your own pocket.
Okay.
And that comes with the expenses of getting your own books printed, going to the store, having your own postcards and all of your advertising purposes done at your own expense. Whereas us here at Opal Book Publishing, we do all of that for our authors.
Okay.
You know, so they don't have to pay for, you know, the business cards and the postcards and the anything for their book releases. We at Opal, we do that for them. And that's what keeps them happy. And we're constantly promoting them, we're constantly sending them you know, sending our authors out for book signings, and, you know, a lot of the self-published authors or new authors, if they're not constantly in the know of everything as far as, you know, where the events are going to be or any of that, you know, any of that that stuff, then that's another thing that we also provide, because we normally know dates of things that are coming up. So what we do is that we email our authors to see if they're interested in going. And once we find out that they're interested in going, then the advertising and marketing starts all over again.
Okay.
So we actually like to blast out our authors as much as we can.
Okay, well, let me piggyback on what Doc just asked. Now, earlier you said, and I know where you're coming from, but I want to make sure that it's clear to people who are listening. With some of the big box publishers, like the Random House and all those other folks, they will give you an advance. That means we are confident in your writing ability. We know that you're going to put out a bestseller. Here's $10,000, right?
Right.
What are some of the drawbacks from getting that advance? What it's good to have that money up front, but what could authors expect because they're getting that advance as opposed to going to your company?
Well, the thing with that is that if they give you an advance, for most, not all, but if they give you that advance and they're looking for, you know, that the particular amount of books for you to have, and if you don't meet that quota that's given to you, then you can end up owing the publishing company back.
And that's not cool, because, you know, we've already spent that $10,000, right?
Exactly.
That money is gone. It's gone, gone,
so
gone.
If we get that money, it's good as gone.
We're going to have a big TV. We're gonna get some spinning wheels that we can't see when we drive in. You know how we do.
Exactly. You know, and not just one TV at that. You know,
you want to have a TV
for every room.
And then all of a sudden the publisher says, your book sucks, we want our money back, and then we looking crazy.
Exactly. All right,
okay, well, let me ask you another question then. So those big box publishers, they are very selective about who they pick to be underneath their umbrella, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're very selective as well. What kind of criteria do you use to select the authors that you're going to publish? Because everybody believes, oh, this is a book that should be heard. Everybody needs to read this book because they can relate to it.
Right.
What makes
you
decide to take them or not?
What makes me decide on whether you get an acceptance letter or a rejection letter is that if you can keep my attention from the first two chapters, and I can go to three, and I can go to four, then we can make it work. If I'm reading the first chapter and I'm lost, then there's no way that I can even go any further. Because to me, a book has to keep your attention from the time that you start reading.
Right, right.
And if it doesn't, for many people are putting their books down. And it never gets rated.
Wow. So when you were getting ready to start Opal, what kind of challenges did you have, knowing what the industry was like, knowing how the big box publishers do their thing, how you would like to do your thing? Because I'm sure you did a lot of research. What were some of the challenges you had in starting your company?
The challenges I had, basically was trying to persuade, you know, people to come to Opal. And again, it was, you know, I got a lot of people who wanted to know, you know, if I gave advances, and in which I didn't. And, you know, a lot of them figure, okay, well, if I come to you, I might as well self-publish myself. And but the thing that they don't know, that they didn't know, was the creativity behind the scene, you know, which with the book covers, you know,
right,
the designing of the book covers and the whole thing, and not realizing that, okay, we're a publishing company, but we're not asking you, you know, for a lot of money. But it's like once they saw my work, then it was something totally different. You know, they're like, oh my God, you actually did this.
Right.
You know,
it's a lot of work.
You do all of this for your authors. You, oh my God, you sent them here. Oh my God, I saw your author, you know, down in Connecticut, you know, which is where my third author is. You know, she's from Connecticut. And, you know, I've never met her personally, and she's doing very well with her book.
That is good. What's her name?
Her name is Tanisha.
Are you able to say?
Tanisha McMillan.
Oh,
Tanisha.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one you couldn't say on air.
Yeah, because we don't want to get fined and thrown off the air, and they take our $250 at the bank, you know.
Right.
And that's not $250. That's two and two quarters.
Exactly.
All right. Here's another good question for you then. Everybody's a writer. Everybody feels like they're a writer. They've been writing since they were 4 years old, and now they want to publish a book, and they just think that they know everything when they don't. So what are some of what's some of the best advice you can give to new writers or to writers who want to publish?
The only advice that I could give them is just to basically follow their heart and believe in what they do. You know, you have to believe in your writing in order for somebody else to believe in your writing.
Mm-hmm.
If you love writing, then write. You know, I mean, like you said earlier, everybody is given that talent, but it needs to be put to use. And, you know, and the other thing is that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of writing workshops out here that, you know, writers can attend. Not to say that their writing isn't any good, but if you need to be a better writer, then, you know, I say give it a try.
Okay. And just to add on to that, I think one of the things that writers definitely need is to be open to constructive criticism, because
exactly.
It's not to say that your writing is bad, but if you try this, or if you go think, if you try taking your work at this angle, or if you take out this word and maybe add that word, you will make a more powerful statement. And I think sometimes writers feel offended by that, when all we're really trying to do is just help you be a better writer, because we all need
exactly.
help.
Exactly.
We all need some help. Because I know there was a time, because Dot would always try to criticize me, and I would tell her, no, you're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And I said it over.
You. It's constructive critiquing. There's a difference.
And I said you were wrong. And I still say it. But because I wanted to be better, I took her advice. So I think it's very important for writers to be open to that constructive criticism.
Right.
All
right. Right.
So Opal has been in the game now for 10 long years. What are you guys doing to celebrate? Or what are you doing to celebrate?
I'm, I'm actually trying to organize a 10-year anniversary, like, cookout. You know, I just
can
want
I come?
Everybody. You can. You're more than welcome to come.
But you're not using our business account to get there.
Because we have $250.
You're not taking any money out of the business account to get there, but you can absolutely go. Oh, I know, Sharon. Maybe you could finish writing Strapless and use the proceeds from the sale of that book to fund your trip.
Whatever. Whatever. Anywho, go on about your barbecue.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to set that up for sometime in June.
Okay.
And I haven't came up with a date as of yet, but I'm going to do it.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to it. Definitely do. And let me see, what can I say? Because, you know, we could sit here and talk all day long about it.
Sharon, we need to do a commercial so that we can get some bills paid, please.
And here comes the test of the emergency broadcast system.
I know. How about the test of the emergency we've got an author system?
Okay, so to everyone who's listening, if you are interested in getting your work published, please, please visit obpublishing.com. That's obpublishing.com. Types of services that Opal Book Publishing offers is editing, proofreading, custom cover designs, and press releases, and website hosting, all of the things that an author definitely needs to get out there without spending a whole lot of time, without spending a whole lot of money, and without having a whole lot of stress. You'll have a professional get your work out there and make sure that it is right and it is appropriate and it's going to look good. It's going to make you look good as a writer. It's going to make her look good as well. So do you have any specials for us? Do you have any specials for us? For our listeners?
For all
you
of
do?
Listeners,
what you got?
Tuning in. I'm giving away Forsaken Eyes at a 30% discount. I am going to run it for 3 days.
3 days. So it ends on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday. We're going to say Wednesday midnight.
Wednesday midnight Eastern time, you're going to get Forsaken Eyes at a 30% discount, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to get mine at like a 98%.
98%.
Sharon, why don't you just ask her to give you the book at a 98% discount? I mean, oh my gosh, she's not even recovering the cost.
No, I want Forsaken 2. I want Forsaken 2, 98%.
Well, why don't you offer to edit for her? Why don't you give her something? You're asking her to give you something, and you're not offering anything in exchange.
Because she's the expert. She's the expert.
You see
she's
what I have to deal with?
So, again, everybody, make sure you are checking out obpublishing.com. Get your work edited, advertised, marketing, all that good stuff that you need through Opal Book Publishing or Corinthia Kelly will definitely get you squared away, get you out there so that people can read your stuff.
And if
you haven't
read her book, remember you can get it at a discounted rate until Wednesday with the code. Sharon, give our listeners the code, please.
The code is Back to Us.
And the four numbers with it.
911?
No, Sharon.
I forgot the code.
You walking around with the paper. I can't even see the paper where I wrote my notes. Miss Kelly,
you know
can you help us?
It's
the code to use will be Back to Us 4613. If they email me at obpublishing.info@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Thank
See,
you so much.
And I'm actually advertising for a co-host and a new best friend. I will be at the Dollar Tree picking up friends in about an hour, and I will be taking applications for a co-host on my Facebook inbox.
Thank you, Miss Kelly. I'm going to go and kill her now, and I don't need any witnesses. So we thank you for taking the time out to join us on today.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
All right, have a wonderful evening.
Right.
Thank you. You do the same.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
What we got now? What we got going?
What do we have now?
Well,
I don't even know if I want to do the rest of the show with you. Now, you know, I've been telling you about Deontez, right? She is the hottest lesbian artist coming out of Texas lately.
That little stud chick.
Huh?
That little stud chick.
Yes. Isn't she hot? Her music is the bomb. Well, I know you wouldn't know, but, you know. She's got this single out right now because, you know, her album drops in about another 3 days because, oh, my gosh, it's almost May. But anyway, because, you know, we love Deontez and Deontez has love for Back to Us, she's given us an exclusive of I'll Be Your Stud. So that's kind of how we're going to end our show tonight. And while we're ending on the I'll Be Your Stud note, I also want to go ahead and plug our next week's show where we'll have Noble Jules. And many of you know Noble Jules from the Empower production team. And Noble Jules is actually releasing a movie called Studsman. And she's going to be talking about masculine-identified women and you know, some of the challenges that you all face as being masculine-identified. You know, I wouldn't know anything about that, but it's something that is definitely very, very near and dear to my heart because of an experience that Sharon had.
What experience did I have?
When you went to remember when we were at the restaurant and you went to the lady's bathroom and the lady got mad and freaked out and, I mean, it was a horrible experience. I was mad for you. And, girl, you know, if I could have fought, I would have fought. But, you know, since I don't do stuff like that, I just had to sit back and watch.
So, anywho. Back to us.
Sharon, I love you.
Yeah.
You are really an amazing friend. I know we cut up and I know we get on each other's nerves, but I couldn't think of anybody else that I would want by my side to do this other than you.
I don't have any money, so you don't need to be buttering me up or anything. I don't have any money.
So we're going to listen to I'll Be Your Stud, but just know I'll always be your imaginary girlfriend.
What?
All right. So here's Deontez, and she's closing us out for the evening. Good night, everyone. We love you, and
we will see
you next Sunday. Same bat channel, same bat time.
On Back to Us.
Baby, I'll be your
You have been listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at http://voicerepublic.com.